Small businesses. Direct Line guarantee to be any public liability insurance quote for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Monday, April 27, 2015, you are listening to a very special edition of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you will get anywhere else. You can download the podcast on iTunes. You can go to our website and download it. If you are an Android user and you don't use iTunes, you don't use that format, go to Podcast Republic. Go to Podcast Addict. You can find it there as well. The great thing about the podcast, you can listen to it when it's convenient to you. You can listen to it at your leisure, and you can pause it and stop it and do all those things that, you know how it is sometimes when you get those interruptions. Hey, if you would like to contact me, there's a few different ways you can get me. Twitter handle is at Daily Dose Sports. You can find me on Facebook at Daily Dose Sports. Our website, if you haven't been over to see the website, I would encourage you to do so. On the website is dailydosesports.wordpress.com. New articles, new links to the podcast, everything that we are doing, you can find it over there. Also, we do have email now. If you would like to email the show directly, hey, you never know. We may read your email on the podcast. We may put it in an article. You don't know. But if you want to send me your email, and it doesn't have to be where I say your name, if you'd like to send it anonymously and say, please don't use my name, I'm more than willing to do that. I have no problem with that. Send me an email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. Get some of your feedback. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you need relationship advice. We never know which way it's going to go, but we would be glad to help you and get you fixed up. Hey, we do have a special edition of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Today, I will be joined by former professional boxer and current trainer, manager, and promoter, Frankie Sanchez. We're going to be previewing the Floyd Mayweather-Manny Pacquiao fight that is coming up this weekend. So we won't wait too long. Let's jump right into it. We are joined right now on the Daily Dose Hotline by former world-class boxer and mixed martial arts fighter. He is currently a sports manager, promoter, and trainer. He is a Denver, Colorado native. Frankie the Educator Sanchez. Frankie, thank you so much for being with us here on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. We really do appreciate it.
Not a problem. It's a pleasure.
Hey, Frankie, for people who don't know, let me just give a quick background. Frankie fought 32 professional fights just as a boxer only, fought for three professional championships. He has fought world-class fighters. This is a guy who has fought big-time fighters. Let me give you a couple names. Kelly Pavlik. And you may remember Kelly Pavlik. He fought Bernard Hopkins, fought Sergio Martinez. He fought Francisco Bajado, Dimitri Salida, who fought Amir Khan. And a name that I really want you to keep in mind, he fought David Diaz, who did fight Manny Pacquiao. Got some big-time names on that agenda there.
Yeah, you know, it was a great career. And, I fought some top-notch fighters, so being in the ring with these guys was a true honor, and seeing them as successful as they were in their careers just shows you the level that I was at, and it was a pleasure training with these guys and fighting them also.
I wanted to bring Frankie on to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast because obviously we've got the big fight coming up Saturday, May 2nd between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. Because as listeners know, here on the Daily Dose, we give you a little different outlook on the world of sports. We're going to have fun. We're going to look at a lot of different things sports-wise, but we're going to give you some insight that you don't get anywhere else. And the great thing about bringing Frankie in is he has a couple different hats that we'll talk about in a minute. He has been a boxer. He's been a trainer, he's been a manager, he's been a promoter, and he's going to give us some insight on some of those things and the way we can look at this fight just a little bit differently. As usual, we do give you that insight look. Let's talk a little bit about your boxing career, and then we'll kind of go through this big fight coming up. First off, what are you doing right now? What businesses are you running right now?
I do a few things. There's a gym right down the road. I moved back to Aurora, Colorado after I attended college in Alamosa, Colorado at Adams State. And there's a gym right down the road from me by the name of Unico Fit. And a friend of mine opened a gym a couple years ago. So, I just wanted to kind of give back to the community. They gave me so much and helped me through my boxing career. So I do a lot of volunteer time for the youth program and the adult program there at the gym. And, I enjoy it. I enjoy being back in the ring and as a coach and a promoter. And, kids seem to love it. And, they really learn a lot. And I'm real strict on discipline and, eating healthy, the kind of live healthy way that I did when I was a fighter. So I'm doing that. I also do federal security. I'm a federal security officer for a private company, I'm sorry, and I'm right now stationed at the Littleton Social Security Building. But other than that, I have a real good business going on right now. It's a food cart business, and currently have a contract with Fiddler's Green, and they're the big concert venue here in Colorado. And I provide Mexican food for all the customers, so it's been really successful. And we actually have our first concert this year at Fiddler's with Snoop Dogg coming in town tonight.
Excellent. I love it. And I love the part about, you know, giving back to the community. That's good stuff you have going. We're going to have to talk a little bit more about that here later in the show. Let's talk a little bit about your career. Let me ask you this, Frankie. How old were you when you first got started boxing?
You know, I'd have to say I was about 6 or 7. And my grandfather, who was very inspirational in my life, he was a former fighter. He was a Southern Pacific champion in the Army. And he had enough what they call points at that time to get to leave the Army. So instead of going for the Olympics like he should have, he gave up his career and he went back home to Southern Colorado. So he came over when I was a young kid and he had some boxing gloves, and he made me and my brother and my cousin put them on. And since then I've been boxing. My first amateur fight was for the Colorado Golden Gloves Junior Olympic state title, and that was back in, I think, 83. So it's been a while that I was fighting as an amateur.
Sure. I guess every generation kind of thinks of themselves as they grew up in kind of a cool era. I always feel, boxing wise, I know we weren't the 50s and 60s era, and you and I are kind of the same age, but we grew up in a really cool era of boxing, in that we got to see a number of great, great fighters as we were coming up. Got a little bit of the tail end of the heavyweight stuff with Ali kind of going out and forming and listing when we were very young. Then we got to see, the Holmes and the Tyson and that kind of stuff. But the middleweight fighters, we got to see some phenomenal fighters, whether it was Ray Leonard or Roberto Duran or, Hagler, Hearns. We got to see so many great ones. Who are the fighters that you grew up watching and I guess, kind of idolizing?
Pretty much everyone you named right there. And, I always admired a gentleman out of Panama named Roberto Duran. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm the last man in history to ever spar with Roberto Duran, and it was a great thing. In 2000, he had what they call Battle of the Ages when he fought Hector Camacho.
I do remember that.
And I was handpicked by him to be his chief sparring partner because I could fight both southpaw and right-handed, so it was a pleasure. I mean, I got tons of pictures with him. I got some video with him, and we had dinner together, and for my sparring partner fees, he signed about 6 pair of boxing gloves for me, so... to be in a ring with a legend like that, one of the best ever, was amazing, and I was very honored. I was still young. I still not turned pro. I was still amateur when I sparred him, but I tell you what, that guy hit so hard. I fought Kelly Pavlik. I fought Kermit Cintron on some of the knockout artists in today's game, and this guy hit harder than anyone at 51, so I couldn't imagine how good he was when he was... in his prime.
That's amazing, and I did want to talk to you a little bit about... I had heard... that you had sparred a little bit with him. I want to come back to that in just one second. Hey, were there any fighters out there, and maybe they weren't even the most well-known fighters, but were there any fighters out there that you looked at and you kind of styled your game after?
And one fighter who I did kind of, because he was just very skillful, was Oscar De La Hoya. And Oscar and I, we competed in the same weight class in the same age since we were kids. I remember hearing his name at the Junior Olympic Nationals in Marquette, Michigan, when I was out there for the national championships. And we were just, usually in the same bracket every time. Just he was on the top bracket, I was on the lower bracket. But, it just came that we never fought at the junior nationals like that. But he's one fighter that I looked up to at the time. He was, his mom was dying of cancer, and he was fighting a hard battle, not just in the ring, but out of the ring. So that's one fighter I did look up to. I used to study Sugar Ray Robinson with my grandfather.
Sure.
And, these old-timers that... They used to fight 200-300 times. So, yeah, Sugar Ray Robinson was also a fighter that I did look after.
I love it. And pound for pound, in my book, the greatest fighter who ever fought was Sugar Ray Robinson. What he could do with his skill and his power, his boxing record is without question second to none. You start off as an amateur, and I'm not sure that the general public and most fans understand how many amateur fights a young fighter has to go through before they ever reach professional status. How many amateur fights did you fight?
I was, I had 64 wins and 12 losses in the amateurs. So, and to be honest with you, that was pretty low. I mean, you had guys who I trained with like Stevie Johnson, And sure. Oscar, who themselves had between 200 and 300 fights. And the only reason I did that is because my grandfather always urged me to not compete every weekend like some of these fighters. But some of these fighters, they have up to 300 fights as amateurs.
How do you make that decision? And how old were you? How do you make that decision when you say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and become a professional fighter? What are the steps you have to go through, and what exactly do you do?
You know what? As an amateur, I was, after doing very well, I won the Golden Gloves here in Colorado six times through the junior novice division and then the open division, and I was the regional champion. You go to national tournaments, and most of the national tournaments, you do have promoters who are looking out to, I guess, recruit you, kind of scout.
But okay.
I was pretty familiar being in the game so long with the coaches at the gym. There was always promoters there, so I actually should have turned pro right out of high school. But I didn't because I didn't make the Olympic team. Oscar, of course, was the gold medal winner that year, and nobody was beating Oscar. So
sure.
When I went to college, got a wrestling scholarship, so I kind of put the promoters on hold. But during my college career, I wrestled down in Alamosa at a Division II school for 5 years. I kept seeing all these guys. I mean, you got Oscar De La Hoya making millions. You got Shane Mosley. You got Vernon Phillips. You got guys like that, and they're making money, and I'm like, wait a minute, I was competing with these guys. My sparring partner, since I was a kid, Stevie Johnson, won the WBC belt. So I'm like, wait a minute, I bang with these guys. I mean, I'm right there at that level. If they're doing it, why don't I do it? So
right.
That kind of, in 2000, what made me decide that I wanted to get back into gamma boxing, and that's where I found promoters and went from there.
Okay. Hey, like I said before, you fought 32 professional fights. For you, personally, who was the best fighter that you ever faced, and what made them so great?
Oh, that's got to be a tough one. There were so many good fighters that I fought. David Diaz, who actually lost the belt to Manny Pacquiao, I went 8 rounds with him, and, stood there toe-to-toe with him the whole time. So he was one of them. You also have Kelly Pavlik, who, of course, is just way too big for me. I moved up 3 weight classes to fight him. But then you got guys like Kermit Cintron, who what do you have, like 29 knockouts, and So there was a lot of them. I guess I can't put, just name one. There was
sure.
A lot of great fighters that I fought. But, like I said, everyone is tough. Even guys that with losing records, if you're in there, you're tough.
Absolutely. Like you said before, you were sparring partners with one of the greatest fighters ever in Roberto Duran. You also were a sparring partner with 4-time world champion Juan Diaz. How is he?
Oh, he's a great guy. And actually, just talked to him yesterday. He was amazing. The kid is, he fought the best, too. He fought Marquez, he fought Frika. And just being in there with him, I learned a lot. And he actually hand-selected me after I fought Panchito Bajado on the Showtime card in Houston. So I was his chief sparring partner for 2 camps. And, the kid is just an animal. He comes forward, he moves, he hits hard, and he's relentless. So learning a lot from him and helping him get ready for a few of his fights were an honor for me,
Absolutely. We talked, and you had said a little bit about Roberto Duran. In the ring, in one of your fights, who's the guy that hit you the hardest?
Probably Kermit Cintron.
Really?
And the thing that I was telling my boys about it, I'm like, hey, I may have been beat a lot, but I was never knocked out. And, when the referee stops the fight, he's looking out for the best interest in you. And I took a lot of good shots, but I think that I could have lasted, not that I would have won, but, Cintron hit me with a good right hand. I took a knee, and I got my composure back, but when I was on the ropes, Hall of Fame referee Frank Cappuccino stopped and said, look, I'm just looking out for you. I know you're a tough guy, but I'm not going to let you get your head bashed in. So, but he did hit very hard. And I mean, you got to figure, the guy was almost 6 foot, and he's, cutting down to 147. He was just
wow.
Solid, and you can see by his record, he has a ton of knockouts.
Big guy. I like the fact that I got to give you some credit for this. I like the fact that you remember the guy that hit you the hardest. That's a big, big positive for your part. Hey, boxing, you obviously did some wrestling. You've done some mixed martial arts stuff. It's so different from team sports because it's just you out there. I have a background, some basketball stuff and stuff like that, but it's so different with a fight being a fighter like that where you are in an individual sport. It's just you. You might have a trainer. You might have a manager. If I could ask you, take me into the locker room, say 10 minutes prior to being due in the ring, what are you doing in there? Who is in there with you? I guess, how are you getting yourself ready for this fight as you're getting ready to walk out to the big ring?
You know, in boxing, it was just like second nature. But when it came to the mixed martial arts, before the UFC took over and got big, I had 34 mixed martial arts fights and never lost. I mean, you're talking about fighting in bars and venues that you know, there's no weight classes. I fought in one at the in Fort Collins, Colorado. It was I think it was 32 men in my bracket, and I was the smallest guy at 145.
Wow.
This guy was like 285. But in a locker room, in something like that, it's a different feeling. I mean, you're scared. Your stomach's turning. I know that before my first mixed martial arts fight, I couldn't eat, and I was pretty much sick to my stomach for 2 weeks, because at that time, we didn't know what it was about. You didn't have YouTube. You didn't have all the technology up to date.
Oh, yeah.
Hookup stuff. I mean, it was just like, hey, you're getting in there. You have a pair of gloves. There's no eye gouging, no biting, and no pulling hair. All else goes. So, you know, at that time, I mean, it's crazy. Your heart is pumping. And, you know, when I train my fighters, and I tell them this, I said, hey, the fight is won before you get in the ring, when you're not so nervous. Some guys stress themselves out so much walking around, making phone calls, you know, tiring themselves out before the fight when you're supposed to be relaxed. And luckily, I had good trainers, my father, my grandfather, my old coach, Raul Luna. You know, they calmed me down and said, hey, look, you're not going to go out there into the arena talking to your friends, running up and down the stairs. Sit down, kick your legs up on a chair, you know, get a towel, keep the body heat in, and relax. You know, listen to your Walkman radio, listen to something. And I think that's what it is. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in a street fight, or, you know, a kid saying he's going to beat you up after school.
Right.
That's the only times 100. I mean, you're so nervous. It's crazy. I mean, and a lot of people, a lot of fighters, what I call break before the fight, I've had fighters walk out of the arena because they just can't handle the stress.
Wow. Did you have any weird superstitions that you did before fight?
No, you know, I used to try to listen to music, you know, any kind of music, calm me down. I did pray. I'm a firm believer in the man upstairs, so I would always pray, not for a victory, but that, you know, none of the fighters get hurt, and we walk out safe. And, yeah, Clint, tell you, the feeling of it is amazing. I mean, a lot of people can't handle the feeling, cannot imagine. I mean, you're going into either a ring or a cage where it's just you and the guy with a pair of gloves on, and you're out there trying to hurt each other. So it could break a lot of people, yeah.
Let me ask you this. There are certain fighters that are out there. I think of Tyson with DMX. I think of even someone like Mickey Ward coming out to Whitesnake. What was the music he came out to, Frankie?
You know, I was more relaxed guy. Jack Johnson's one of my favorite artists. So
okay.
To Jack Johnson's laid-back music. No,
sure.
No real hardcore rap or heavy metal, but, you know, just stuff to cool me down. And I like Jack Johnson a lot. I do come out to a lot of his songs.
When you still hear those songs now, does it take you back at all, or is that far enough past you?
Yeah, sure does. And, you know, I tell the kids, and when they sometimes, they still haven't seen a lot of my videos because we haven't converted them from, you know, the old tapes to the new DVDs. But, you know, when they do see it, you know, I got, you know, some good music for them to listen to. And it's kind of the music I listen to now. So, yeah, they kind of ask me, what are you thinking, Dad? Where were you coming out to that song? Hello. So that was just me. I wasn't, you know, didn't need to be flashy, but just wanted to, you know, calm me down.
I love it. Hey, after your boxing career, you have also managed, you've trained numerous champions that have gone on to do some pretty amazing things. Talk about some of these guys that you've worked with and you've trained now since you've been a boxer.
Yeah, sure. I've trained a lot of guys, and I've been able to be in the gym with these guys since it started. One in particular is a young man by the name of Henry Cejudo, Olympic champion in 2008 in freestyle wrestling. He came to me and needed help with a fundraiser and before the Olympics to take some of his family members over to Beijing and watch him. And so we raised some money for him. During that time, him and I, after the Olympics, him and I traveled the country, you know, doing wrestling clinics, promoting his Olympic gold medal. And, you know, on our off days, I would train him in boxing and, you know, stand-up games. And right now, he's very successful. He's doing, I think he's 9-0 in the UFC right now, and his next fight is coming up in June. So, you know, being that caliber of trainer for guys like him are just amazing. And see his success, not just in the cage, but outside of the cage. He's written two books. He's getting a movie done about him.
Wow.
And the kid's just been very successful from coming from nothing, basically from the projects of Phoenix, to, you know, being very successful and almost going to receive his college bachelor's degree here in a couple months.
That's awesome. You also teamed up after your boxing career, again, with Oscar De La Hoya. who you had talked about a little bit earlier, and you teamed up with Golden Boy Promotions to promote a few fights, a few events. You know, Oscar was a fan favorite. He always seemed like he was such a class act. How was he to work with, as well, you know, as his boxing career, but how was he to work with professionally after that?
You know, very professional, and Oscar had a good name for himself with, you know, Golden Boy and winning the gold medal, and yeah, you're absolutely correct. In 2010, we, you know, communicated and said, hey, let's have a fight card out here in Colorado, and, you know, let's see how that goes, and it was very successful. The main event, it was a young man out of Cuba by the name of Irislande Lara, and he's still, I believe, he's up in the title contention right now, so he was my main event. We had some local guys on the card, and it was filmed live on the Spanish channel Telefutura. So yeah, I mean, for me to not have a show for a while and do that and have it filmed worldwide, I think it was a success.
You know, I believe because of the era that we did grow up in, boxing was so much bigger to us as kids. I can remember pretty vividly as kids, you know, going on Saturday night or whatever, it may have even been Saturday afternoon, we're watching Wide World of Sports on ABC or something, and we would see, you know, a Hagler-Hearns fight or something like that, and going back to school on Monday, and everybody was talking about it. I kind of want to get to where we're at that stage again. Is there any way we're going to get boxing back to being in the consciousness of young kids again?
You know, possibly. You know, and I used to say, tell everyone, I said, the UFC, actually, in mixed martial arts, is the fastest growing sport in the world. But right now, it's getting oversaturated with so many promotions. I mean, I know, I think there was a card on Saturday. I didn't even know it was on. I mean, there's so many things going on. And Dana White, he has a successful business, but they're overdoing it. I mean, even in your local promotions, there's one promoter here, one promoter there, and they're fighting for dates, and they're trying to, you know, make each other's show unsuccessful. So I don't know, but I think that now that this Pacquiao and Mayweather fight's coming up, I hope that it can get back like it used to be. And you're absolutely correct. I used to do the same thing. Boxing was a big thing. And, you know, we used to go over to my aunts or my uncles and watch the fights or Saturday NBC cards. And they're trying to do that now. But I think it will, because I think a lot of people are getting discouraged with mixed martial arts. And the price that you have to pay for pay-per-view every weekend to watch it.
Yeah, and that's my thing, I guess. I want to see, and I know that they're trying to do a little bit of it on you know, some of the ESPNs and stuff where they do the Friday night fights. I want to get to where we kind of grow up with a fighter and we kind of see him box a few times, and then I'm more apt to go get that pay-per-view event because I've kind of grown up with this kid, and I know I've been watching him since he was, you know, 17, 18 years old. Now I'm more interested in going to get this pay-per-view. I feel like right now there's a lot of fighters we don't know, we don't get a chance to know, and then they're saying, hey, go get pay-per-view, and you're going, I don't even know who's fighting tonight.
No, you're right, and that's a bad thing. But, you know, I guess the good thing with the way the media is now, you know, with our smartphones and our computers, is that you can do a lot of research on fighters now. You can follow a fighter, but
sure,
you're absolutely right. And I think boxing really needs this fight coming up with Pacquiao and Mayweather to bring its name back, because all you hear about is UFC, UFC, and you really don't know any more promotions other than maybe Don King promotion, or, you know, even Golden Boy. So it's a good thing, I think, that this fight's coming up, and I do think we're going to be back on track in it. After the fight, regardless of who wins or who loses, I think it's gonna bring boxing back in the you know, in the spotlight.
I hope you're right, and that's exactly what I'm hoping for too. You know, being a fighter, being a trainer, being a manager, you've done some coaching, and I believe that side of it completely changes your outlook on sports, because you look at the game differently than just the average guy. You look at the game differently than just even the average fighter, because you've been on both sides of it, and that's exactly why I wanted to bring you in to talk about this Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. As a fighter, and let's jump to this fight. As a fighter, as a manager, as a promoter, you know probably more than the average guy knows. Tell me this. Why did this fight take so long to finally take place?
It took so long because Mayweather's a smart businessman. That's why. That's the only reason. It's not that he was afraid. It's not that Pacquiao was afraid. It's just that he knew the anticipation of the fight game is the best, and he did everything right. He's making millions, millions, millions on this fight, more than anyone, any pro athlete has ever for one event. So it took so long because he strategically planned it. He wanted it to be where everyone was just foaming at the mouth and just ready to quit on it, and then all of a sudden, boom, it gets everybody's interest up. So he did it. He's a smart man. I give him that credit. And money, you know, that's why his name is Money Mayweather, because he knows that he's going to make a lot of money, and so is Pacquiao.
Sure. You don't think there was any apprehension by Mayweather to face Pacquiao, though?
Not at all. He's a bigger fighter. He's tough. He's not afraid of anybody, and, you know, not at all. He's not worried about his record. He may say that, but he's not, and, you know, he wouldn't have took the fight if he was even a tad bit scared of Pacquiao. So it's just anticipation. You know, he wanted people to keep offering him, and then finally when they were going to quit, then he said, okay, I'll take it. So that's why it happened. It's all planned, and, you know, unfortunately money's involved, and that's what it takes, you know, the waiting game.
Sure. Speaking of money, the pay-per-view for this fight is a little bit higher than the other fights that we've seen in the past. We're looking around $90 to $100. How do you think that's going to affect viewers? Do you think they're still going to come in droves? Do you think that higher price is going to scare some people off?
Not at all. They're going to pay for it, whether they go to their buddies and they all pitch in $10. They're going to get it, and it's going to sell very high. Possibly, maybe one of the highest selling pay per views of all time.
You would think so. Yeah, you would think so.
It could have been $200, and people are still going to pay for it.
Okay, let's jump into this fight and let's start looking at it. Let me ask you this off the top. Who has the advantage in the quarter? We know it with Mayweather, you know, he's got Mayweather Sr. over there. We know with Pacquiao, he's obviously got Freddie Roach over there. So basically what we've got Floyd versus Freddie Roach, because we know who's really managing, you know, Floyd Mayweather. He's the guy. Who's got the advantage in the corner?
You know, that's a tough one. I mean, they're both great trainers. Freddie's a great coach. And, you know, if you look at the history of Freddie Roach and of Mayweather Sr., I mean, they both got good, credible former fighters who won many championships. But, you know, in the end, I think that it's just going to be up to the fighter now, because they're both well-experienced. No matter what the coaches tell them in training camp or in the ring, they're going to do what they want anyway, because they've been in the ring before. They're veterans. So that's a toss-up, you know. And if I had to pick, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. I couldn't, because it's hard. But they're both great trainers, I'll give them that.
Sure. And we know, you talked about it a little bit earlier, about what a smart businessman Floyd is. I don't know if he gets nearly enough credit for the adjustments that he's able to make during a fight. We've seen Floyd at times, early on in fights, the fight is coming to him, it almost looks like he's struggling a little bit. He is able to kind of self-manage and self-train and say, okay, here's an adjustment I'm going to make, and it completely changes the fight. I don't know if he gets enough credit for that.
He doesn't, and you know, the guy's a phenomenal athlete. I mean, he trained so hard. A former title holder by the name of Donald Camarena from Denver, who was actually his sparring partner, told me that he is the hardest worker that he's ever been around. The guy spars like 30-minute rounds with 5-second rest. He goes through like 10 sparring partners a week because they can't handle his the way he works and the way he trains. So guy gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and runs 10 miles, and he's doing 10,000 sit-ups a week. I mean, they say his training is unreal, and that's why I know he's good, because he can last, he can adjust, like you said, and he's smart because he don't get hit. You have a lot of people calling him a chicken because he runs. Well, guess what? The game of boxing is just like Christmas. It's better to give than to receive.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's why he does not get hit. He that's why he's in the game so long, because he doesn't get hit. I mean, people want to see him get knocked out or get cut, but he's smart. So he's the one who has his brain's not bashed in from taking too many hits.
Yep.
So he's the one that's smart, not us, you know?
Yeah, and you know, there's a guy that there are times he reminds me of just a little bit, and I know a fighter that you are familiar with, but at times defensively, he reminds me a little bit of Pernell Whitaker, just in defensively, the way he just never seems to take a hard shot.
Yeah, Pernell was one guy that I also did study. Exactly, he moves, and you know, that's the game of boxing, hit and don't get hit. And I think that that's why he's in the game right now, and that's why he is the best ever. I can't say that there's anyone better than him, because he's never lost, and he's beat
sure.
some notable fighters. I mean, he beat Oscar. He beat, you know, some great fighters, Shane Mosley. I mean, Zab Judah. He just beat a young and talented Canelo Alvarez. So how can they say that they're not at their peak right now, that in Pacquiao? You know, they both fought great champions. I mean, you're talking about, you know, fighting some of the best champions and embarrassing them. You know, Robert the Ghost Guerrero. I mean, they put guys to shame, both of these guys, you know?
Sure. And I don't know if we can, you know, come up with a good answer for this, but because we know both of these fighters, who do you think comes into this fight in better condition?
I think Mayweather does, because, you know, he's always in great shape. He don't get out of shape. And all he does is train. I mean, and so I think that the advantage is going to go to him being the bigger fighter. He's quick. Guess what? Pacquiao's quick. Well, hey, so is Mayweather. But guess what? Mayweather's bigger, and Mayweather may not have as much knockout on his record, but he's fast and he's bigger. So you go bigger. You know, if you're in basketball and you put Shaq against a smaller forward, well, Shaq most of the time is going to win inside because he's such a bigger guy. But, you know, Pacquiao got to be ready, and it's harder when you move up to weight class because, you know, Pacquiao started at, what, 115 as a pro. Now he's going to be at 147, 150. So
yep, about 30 pounds of difference.
So, you know, I think that Mayweather has going to be in better shape going in, and I think he's going to be ready, but Pacquiao's going to bring it too.
Hey, the Nevada State Athletic Commission will assign the referee as well as the judges here in the next few days. With your background and kind of what you know as a fighter, as a manager, as a promoter, how much do you pay attention to who is assigned to this fight?
You don't. I mean,
you don't.
They're only doing it for the hype. I mean, you know, they may say that, oh, this referee is don't like me and that, but nah, it doesn't matter. You get in there, it's just going to be you and him. They really don't. I guess they really don't care. You know, they're going to do their due diligence, and they're going to find what fighters or what refs and judges, you know, did this and the percentages of wins and that. But it's not going to make a difference. I think that in a fight this high of a caliber, the fighters are going to show you who wins in the ring. It's not going to be left to the judges. You know.
Sure. Now, as an orthodox fighter, which Floyd is. We have seen at times a little, he has struggled at times with the southpaw. Zab Judah, Victor Ortiz gave him a little bit of problem at times. You were able to fight a little bit of both, but as a fighter, what are the challenges that you face as an orthodox fighter when you face that southpaw?
Well, for one, you don't have the speed. You can't simulate Pacquiao's speed. So he has a ton of fighters at his camp right now that are southpaw, but they're not as fast as Pacquiao, so he's going to have to adjust, and you know, he's going to have to be at the top of his game. It is harder to fight a left-hander or southpaw because there's not that many out there. So I know that part of my success as a pro was being able to switch back and forth, and I actually fight better as a southpaw because of my movement and training with Stevie Johnson as a, you know, as coming up through the amateurs.
Sure.
I think I was a better southpaw, so it is hard. It is harder to fight it. Mayweather's going to have to use the straight right and catch him and keep him at his distance because Floyd's going to be the taller fighter. But if Pacquiao gets in, he can do some work. So Mayweather's going to have to keep him at his distance.
I feel like Mayweather has a little bit of an advantage against southpaws, maybe more than a typical fighter, because he has that kind of where he kind of faints and leans back. He brings that right up and kind of protects himself. And that might be enough alone just to kind of step back and protect against that power punch coming, that left hook coming that we know is coming from Manny.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, it's speed, and speed kills. So he's going to have to keep that hand high, and he's going to have to be very cautious, and he's going to have to score, and he's going to have to get the points up on Pacquiao before Pacquiao can get in, because Pacquiao knows his only success is going to be if he gets inside of Mayweather. He's not going to outbox him on the outside.
Put yourself in Manny Pacquiao's corner. What do you think the game plan is going to be coming into the fight?
Well, Roach is going to have him, you know, jabbing in angles, a lot of angles, and then once he gets in, to stay in there, he's going to have him, you know, throwing punches and bunches, and he's going to have him, like I said, once he's in, he needs to stay in there. He's going to try to have him, you know, beat down his body. He's going to go to the body a lot, coming up to the head. So that's probably the only way you're going to beat Mayweather is by slowing him down and going to the body right away.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. What's the game plan that you see that Manny could win this fight?
Like I just said, he's going to have to get in there. He's going to have to faint, and he may have to eat a couple punches. But once he gets in, he's going to have to get his work done inside, and then when he pulls out, he can't pull straight back. He's going to have to pull out to his right so that Mayweather can't hit him with that big right hand.
Sure. What does Manny Pacquiao need to avoid in this fight, do you think?
He needs to not let Mayweather dictate the fight. He needs to set the pace. He needs to get on him right away and get up ahead on the scorecards in the first round so that Mayweather feels that he has to, you know, start pressuring Pacquiao. So he needs to get him into a bang fest too, so that he can hopefully catch him, you know, with some good shots and let him know that he's there for business. He's not there for the paycheck, you know?
Sure. And I'm glad you said that, because I think that's one of the keys to this fight is who gets off to a better start. If Floyd gets off to that good start, it's really going to feel like Manny's going to have to take some chances. He's going to have to chase. What are the keys because I do think there is going to be an aspect to that in this fight of Manny trying to chase Floyd down. What are the keys to chasing down an elusive fighter and cutting off the ring?
Well, you just nailed it right there. You got to cut the ring off. You can't chase a guy like Floyd because he's too fast, he's too quick. So you got to cut that ring off. You got to control. We call ring generalship. You got to control the ring. Don't let Mayweather go left. You know, step left on him. Don't let him go right. Cut the ring off. And when you cut the ring off, throw punches because Mayweather is a counter puncher and he's waiting for you to just make one mistake with your hands down coming in, and he's going to tag you 6 or 7 times.
Well, you're exactly right. Mayweather is a phenomenal counterpuncher, and a lot of times he makes his living just being a defender and then counterpunching. Put yourself in Floyd Mayweather's corner now. What is your game plan coming into this fight?
You know, hit and don't get hit, just like his dad tells him. Just get in there, throw your punches, and don't get hit. So, you know, that's what he's going to say. Make him miss, make him pay. He's going to, every time Manny comes in, he's going to try to, you know, hit him with that left hook and slide out. He's not going to get into a slugfest with Manny because he knows that if he stays on the outside and boxes him like Floyd normally does, he's going to win. And that's all Mayweather wants. He's going to go in there and he's going to try to keep that record at zero.
Sure.
Losses. So I think that, he's going to just use that jab. And when Pacquiao comes in, he's going to pepper him with the uppercut and hook. So it's going to be an all-out war, though.
Frankie, these guys have fought a couple, five common opponents. They've both fought Oscar De La Hoya. They both fought Ricky Hatton. They both fought Miguel Cotto, Shane Mosley. And then, of course, the big one, Manuel Marquez. Do you put anything into common opponents when you look at these two fighters at all?
Not really. I always see a lot of pictures going around the internet that look at this face on this guy and after he fought Mayweather and nothing, and when he fought Pacquiao this way. Now, it's different. Different strokes for different folks. I mean, I don't think Manny was on his game when he fought Marquez last time he got knocked out. It's just, it doesn't matter who they fought, and this guy beat that guy. It's totally different when you're in there, you know. It's not that he went business with this guy, so he's going to do better. Nope, different strokes for different folks. So I don't ever go off that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I agree with you 100%. I know, you know, in many sports, some of these events and some of these games are kind of in a vacuum. I can't look at where a guy's head was at for this fight versus this fight. It's all different. And so you kind of have to take these things separately. Maybe you can look at some strategy kind of stuff and say, well, he kind of attacked a lefty like this, or he kind of attacked, you know, an orthodox fighter like this. But other than that, I can't take a whole lot from this, I don't believe.
No, you know, it's an old saying that everybody has a plan until they get punched in the nose. So
yep.
You can have a game plan. You can say, well, when he fought this guy, he went this way and did that. Doesn't matter. Once you get in that ring and the first punch is thrown, the game plan goes out the door. So, you know, and whatever you try to study on that fighter, it all goes out the door. So, but no, like I said, I told you it's going to be a great fight. You know, if I had to pick, I'd have to put my money on Mayweather just because there's so much money involved. He's the bigger fighter, and he's been he's been destroying opponents, outclassing them. So I have to go with Mayweather. And if I'm a betting man, I'll stick with them by unanimous decision. It'll be a controversial decision because they're going to have something in it to, I don't know, but then they're going to make a number two fight, and then they're going to make a number three fight. That's just my prediction.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. There is no rematch written into the contract right now. How difficult is it, do you think, to get another rematch, to get another fight together? And do you foresee kind of a scenario that would allow for that?
I do, and that's unfortunately it's Vegas, and there's money in Vegas. Well, when there's that, you find corruption, you find, you know, just crazy things. So I think there's going to be three fights, but I think Mayweather's going to win them all, and I think that it's going to be more money. They're going to say, well, you know, it was just something happened to Pacquiao at camp, so he wasn't on his game, but if he trains harder, it's going to be a better second fight, and unfortunately, we're going to pay for that. So it's hard to say, you know, if that'll totally happen, but that's my bet. You know, there's wars. Hearn, Tagler, you know, Duran and all the old timers, those guys, you know, they had wars. They had two or three wars with each other. So, yeah, it's possibly going to be that way. But, again, I think, you know, Mayweather's doing it smart, and a lot of money to be made on that May 2nd.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of cheering for Manny. I just feel like I know how this is going to go. I feel like Floyd's just going to outpoint him. He's going to win a unanimous decision, and he's going to make Manny chase him the entire fight and never quite catch him. I hope I'm wrong. I genuinely do. I kind of want to see, I want to see a good fight, and I wouldn't have any problem with seeing Manny come out with a victory.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And you know, television is making it rich versus poor. You look at Manny and look at where he's from.
Sure.
They're showing him with videos with kids who are living in the streets, poor children. He's bringing so much money to his community. So it's going to be a rich, flashy fighter out of Flint, Michigan, fighting a poor man from the Philippines. So, of course, you're going to have both sides. You're going to have the cocky guys who are going to go for Mayweather, and you're going to have the average Joe like us who's going to go for Pacquiao, because you always want to see the underdog do well. And he's not just fighting for himself. Truly, he's fighting for the underdog and the poor people in his country. You know, that's a great storyline. It's like a movie. So, it's going to be I hope Manny wins, but unless he comes prepared, he's going to walk away with a loss on his record.
Well, I agree with you, and it is going to be one of those kind of, head over heart. I think I know how the fight is going to go, but I'm going to be cheering, for it to go a different way. And it sounds like you're going to be doing the same thing. Hey, I want to thank you so much for joining us here. You gave us insight that I don't think you're going to get anywhere else. You gave us, a look, through a fighter's eyes, through a trainer's eyes, through a promoter's eyes that I just don't think, enough of that is out there. I can't thank you enough. Just want to say thank you for being here. Before we go, though, where can people, find some information on North of the Border Grill? Where can they find some information on your gym? You know, the cool thing about your gym, and my family has actually come over to your gym. The cool thing about your gym is you also, not only, in addition to training fighters and people who are more serious, you do a lot of training and fitness stuff for just the average person that wants to come get in shape in a little bit different and more challenging and honestly, a more fun way, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I do. And like I said, I really enjoy it. I've trained your wife before. She's a former classmate of mine. I just enjoy watching females get in there and learn self-defense, because you never know. It's always good to have that if you were to be walking to your car and get attacked. I mean, it's always good to at least know how to hold your hands up and, have a fighting chance at least. Some of these women don't even know how to take the proper stance in case someone was to attack them. So
sure.
For women like that, for guys, but... Yeah, definitely. I enjoy coaching kids, and it's great. It's one of the best workouts you can have. I do, mixed martial arts training. I do wrestling. I put a little Muay Thai in there. So, they can call me anytime. My phone number is 303-378-5014. And just, shoot me a text or call me and let me know what kind of training you're interested in. And, just coming in and doing the cardio boxing that I teach is a great workout. It's healthy. I talk about nutrition. I show you how to wrap your hands. I do all that. So yeah, it's great. And if you ever want to get a hold of me, have anyone call me. I'm open, and it's right off of Quincy and Buckley here in Aurora. So, come on down, take a Saturday class if you can, and learn something.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you've got some stuff for kids. A lot of times people, they've got their kids, they've got, too much energy. They're not quite sure what to do with them. And maybe they're not an athlete. Maybe they're not a fighter, but it's not really about that, is it? They can come in and they can still benefit a great deal just from coming in and taking some classes with you.
Definitely. And I have a good handful of coaches who I've trained before. One of them is a female fighter. Her name is Brittany Agard. And she's been training with me since she was 13. She's 21 now. She teaches my kids program, and the kids love her because she's a lot about technique. And they actually, a lot of the little girls in the class see a girl like that, and they want to be like her. They want to be in shape. They want to know how she throws those kicks, how throws those punches. So yeah, I mean, we definitely got a lot of great, talented coaches who studied under me, and I'd be happy to see anyone, and I definitely want to see Jocelyn back in there.
I'll make sure to mention that to her. If you didn't get that number and you do want to reach Frankie and set something up, that phone number again is 303-378-5014. Frankie, do you have a website? Do you have anything for people that they can go to and get some information on you as well?
You know what? I do have it's a Google website. And if you just type in my name, Frankie the Trainer Sanchez, it'll come up. And there's a little history on me and my background. So, yeah, have them get a hold of me that way, or just give me a call. And once again, I appreciate the call. I like talking boxing. I can call. If I didn't have to have my food carts at the Snoop Dogg concert, I'd talk all day to you about boxing, because I love it, and I've studied so much of it. It was just my life growing up. So, we'll have to communicate after the Mayweather fight to see if my prediction went as I said it would.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. I really, really do appreciate it. Wish you all the best. We'll put out some more information there too. But thank you so much for joining us here on the Daily Dose. And hey, let's hope there's another big fight that we have you back for. We have a recap of this one.
No problem, man. I appreciate you having me. You have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Frankie.
So there you have it. You know, we took a look at the fight game a little bit, got you some insight there that you just don't find anywhere. Took a look at the big fight coming up this weekend between Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. Gave you some insight there as well. Hey, I would encourage you, please head over to the website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. Got some pictures, got some stuff about Frankie that you will want to see. Some really cool stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. If you know a fight fan that you think would enjoy this preview, please, please, please share it. We are always looking to try to get new listeners. The bigger we get, the more listeners we get, the better this all gets. Don't forget, we still do have a podcast this week. On Wednesday, the podcast, we will be talking a little bit about the NFL draft. We'll give you a preview on the NFL draft. We'll be talking about the NBA playoffs. Plus, you know, we'll have some Major League Baseball. We'll talk a little bit about the NHL playoffs going on. And of course, as we do every week, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. As usual, thank you to JSP. Could not do this without you. I will see you all Wednesday. Have a great start to your week.